Hello, and welcome to the AFA Podcast, the official podcast for animationforadults.com. My name is Rachel, and I am joined today by Chris. Hey, Chris.
Hey. Hey, Rachel.
How's it going?
Hey, good. You?
It's just going to be the two of us today, and this is episode 40, I think.
Yeah.
Am I on the right number?
Yep.
We've done so many of these podcasts, it's hard to keep count.
Well, if we've done 40... I think, yeah, all well, right. But although it's a bit awkward because there are some that are cut in half and stuff, so that's all a bit.
Mm-hmm.
A bit if you, but I think based on the episode that we put out, this is 40. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
but it might technically be like 42 or something because the couple of episodes in half, but otherwise.
Well, hey, we've had a lot of episodes. We've gone on for quite a bit, so it's just like, hey, maybe we just. Split this in half. It's like, have one episode here, one episode here.
Yeah, I don't know if people like that or if people are like... Well, the thing is, it's partly like, oh, is it too long for people to listen to? But it's also partly... It's a long edit. the most recent one we cut in half... I basically cut it in half because of the edit time it was going to take. So I split the edit job, so... Sorry about that, people, but...
Hey, it means we got the episode out, you know, soon enough so everyone can listen to it.
Mm-hmm. But it was fun.
Yeah, it was definitely a lot of fun. That was a very enjoyable one. But, and also just want to give a quick shout-out to our other usual cohorts, Yvonne and Dan, who were unable to join us today, but we... I think Dan said he was traveling today, so we wish him well. And same with Yvonne, who is always a busy little bee, as usual.
Yes, just a bit.
And today, since it is just the two of us, I believe the last time Chris and I were doing an episode together, we talked about Dragon Ball. So I think today we're going to do another anime-based episode. And this episode, we're going to talk about the zany, wacky, incredibly awesome anime about superpowered pirates, One Piece.
Yarr!
Arr!
Arr!
But before we get into that, we're just going to do our usual countdown of big news stories, and I think I'll just lead off the one that I just thought was one of the very interesting ones that Chris pointed out to me earlier today, was that apparently an article was put out about Nintendo considering making animated films based on their franchises, their video game franchises, like, say, Legend of Zelda, Metroid... And, you know, what have you. And all I can say is, that's the last time I think they tried to make movies based on a Nintendo property. That was the Super Mario Brothers live-action movie.
Yeah.
And because of that, Nintendo basically refused to do any kind of movie based off any of their video game characters. So, but only several... years later, do they know, it's like, you know what, maybe we could do a movie about this, but it would have to be animated. And all I can say is, thank God they recognize the fact that this is, an animation is the better way for, at least I think for Nintendo to go, if they're going to try and do any kind of film on their video game characters. This isn't confirmed that they haven't announced any particular movies that they're planning on making just yet. They're still talking about it and throwing ideas around, but... At the very least, they're thinking about it.
This is fresh off Ratchet and Clank movie bombing.
Which is unfortunate, because I like the way that movie looked, and it just... it could have been so much more.
And just out in America this weekend, I believe, was Angry Birds.
I have not seen that yet, but
I'm
not entirely sure. I've been heavily debating on whether or not that was something I wanted to go see.
I definitely don't want to go and see it. It looks awful, but but it may be great. I obviously haven't seen it, and you can't judge without having seen it, but trailers are bad. But the point I'm going to make is it apparently has done all right. It's opening at number one, it looks like.
Really?
Yeah. So a lot of people are saying, are people going to care about Angry Birds anymore? Angry Birds is a bit 2000 and when was it? 11, I don't know. No idea. But apparently, it looks like yes. And Ratchet and Clank, I've heard that apparently their most recent game was the most successful game in the series or something, but I don't think Ratchet & Clank has the same sort of name recognition.
No, so, not really.
But if you put a Mario movie or a Zelda movie, people know what that is.
Yeah, well, Nintendo's been around for a long time, a lot longer than Ratchet & Clank have been around, so yeah, those names will turn heads.
Mm-hmm. So, and like I say, if Nintendo are doing, you know, getting more directly involved, then that's a positive. Because that's, well, we shall see how it turns out of Ubisoft, because I've seen the trailer for the Assassin's Creed movie. I'm not sure how it's going to turn out.
Yeah, it's another one of those wait and see things. But at the very least, I think that even with like, you know, the sample of that, like, that animated Star Fox short, that was, you know, if we get more stuff like that, I think that if they decide to go into full movie territory, I think it's very promising.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wonder what they will. Who will be first? I think they've suggested it probably wouldn't be Mario, or
probably not, because, you know, Mario's already had his opportunity at the big screen and did not turn out so well.
That doesn't count, surely.
Well, it would be harder to do an animated, you know, a full-length animated feature based on the Mario story, because really all it is just, you know, your princess is in another castle. Keep going. But I don't know. I would bet money on their first animated video game feature would be either, it's a toss-up between maybe Metroid or, I don't know, maybe Legend of Zelda. It's one of those two.
I think Zelda would be the more obvious one to go with.
Mm-hmm.
But we must remember that Mario might make an appearance before that. He might be in Wreck-It Ralph 2.
I know! Nintendo's finally letting us, like, he can be in this movie. Because I know that they worked really hard to get all the rights to make sure to get all those different video game characters in that one movie.
But would they make Link talk? That'll be weird.
Yes, that would be very weird, because I don't believe he's talked in a single game other than doing the, the attack noises.
No, wait, hang on, right? They make the Zelda movie, they make the Mario movie, they make the Metroid movie, okay. Whatever. And then, when they come out, they do the whole cinematic universe thing.
Oh, yeah.
Smash Brothers is their Avengers.
Wow. And every single Nintendo fan over the entire planet would go absolutely batshit.
It'd be amazing.
That, because you see, it would make sense with Nintendo because there's already a precedent for a crossover.
Exactly.
Oh my goodness. The possibilities are endless.
Mm-hmm.
Nintendo trying to get the animated movie scene.
Whoop whoop.
Alright, what else we got going on this week?
Yeah, in last week, there was some awards given out for voice actors from there's an organisation and a website called Behind the Voice Actors, and they give out awards every year to voice actors, and they also have a special event specifically for anime dub actors, basically. And they have two different categories. They have a staff choice, and they also have one that's voted on by the users of the website, or the public at least. And they've just given out the awards based on 2015, so last year performances. I'm not going to go through them all, because there is about 14 categories or something, and each one has a staff choice and a people's choice. So I will say that you can check it out in the show notes to find them all, but I will go over some highlights. I will point out that for example, the best ensemble in an anime movie or special, both the people and the staff chose Dragon Ball Z Resurrection F. So that's not a particular surprise.
No, but it's just, hey, because the voice work on that film was phenomenal. It really was.
Yeah, they have like the main category as well, like for voice actor and voice actress of the year. And the voice actor of the year, Christopher Sabat, who plays both Vegeta and Piccolo in Dragon Ball Z Resurrection F, and he's also Zoro in One Piece.
Yeah.
So you're probably very familiar with his voice if you watch a lot of dubs. Yeah, he got the best male performance in both People's Choice and the jury one.
Woohoo! Go Chris!
Thank you. Oh no, not me. Okay.
Both go you, yes. And also Christopher Sivet. If I'm pronouncing that right, please forgive me if I'm not pronouncing that right.
And the best actress went to Lindsay Seidel, who appeared in Assassination Classroom and Psychopass 2.
Oh, awesome!
And the People's Choice went to Jamie Marchi, I think that's how you pronounce it, who was in Death Parade and Tokyo Ghoul.
Ooh.
And then they have a breakthrough actress, and both fan and staff pick went to the same person again.
Oh,
and it's someone with an amazing name. Brianna Knickerbocker.
Mm.
That's a great name.
That is a fantastic name.
I know a lot of actors will change their name when they become famous,
mm-hmm.
but I guess if you've got a name that great, you just I'm not going to change it.
Just leave it.
And I don't want to know if that's not her real name, because.
Oh, what was she in? Just call it Durr. Everyone does Durr.
Durr. Yeah, that one. And the breakthrough actor went to Rico Farido.
It's all right. Sorry for butchering your name.
And also several like voice actor legends got recognized as well, including Steve Bloom.
Yes.
Who got best male lead in anime, movie or special for his role in Expelled from Paradise. And that was the staff choice on that one.
Oh.
And also, his co-star from Cowboy Bebop, Wendy Lee.
Hey!
She got a nod for Best Supporting Female in TV series. And also, Crispin Freeman. He's another very famous voice actor who's done a lot of good performances.
Yeah, I actually got to see him live in Otakon one year.
Ah, sweet. I know him best, and I will always know him best, as Alucard in Helsing.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, that's who he is. and he is also the voice of Winston in Overwatch.
So, right, yeah. Oh my, what?
Yeah.
God, how did I not hear, oh my, that's the thing. you think after listening to these guys for as many years, like, my brother and I will always talk about whenever we hear a new dub or new, like, animated, we watch a new animated show, we always like to listen for voices we recognize. We're like, oh, hey, it's Crispin Freeman, or oh, hey, it's Christopher Sabat, oh, hey, it's this person. Just, you know, most people talk about just, you know, big-time celebrities. Me and my brother and a lot of our friends, we talk about these guys all the time, because it's just so much fun to be able to, you know, hear all the stuff that they do. And I thought I'd gotten good at, you know, being able to just, you know, differentiate who's doing what at some points. But no, I had no idea that he was Winston in Overwatch. That's amazing.
To be fair, most of these people make a career of, you know, doing different voices and stuff. So they
sometimes in the exact same show.
Yeah. So sometimes you're not going to recognize the voices.
But it's always a fun surprise when you find out that it's them. It's like, oh, hey. Awesome.
It's like Alan Tudyk in Wreck-It Ralph when I found out that was him.
Oh my god, I know.
It's like, no way!
And also for the other various Disney movies that he's been in since Wreck-It Ralph. Like Frozen, and then he was also in Zootopia recently.
He's like their new good luck charm, I think.
He really is!
Like the way John Ratzenberger was in all the Pixar movies.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm so disappointed to find out that he supports Trump. Oh, that's horrible. Sorry.
Sad panda.
Sad panda. Yeah, so if you want to check out the full list, you will find the article on animationforadults.com, and I will stick the link in the show notes. But congratulations to all the winners.
Yeah! Woo!
You are brava, awesome people. Brava. Yeah. They are a bunch of good people, and they're good at their job, obviously. And yeah, they become very familiar to us when we watch lots of dubs and stuff. And
lots of dubs, lots of cartoons growing
and
up.
And then you see them, then they crop up in video games as well. So you go, oh, I know that voice. Which is a very good documentary, by the way. I know that voice.
Oh, yes. I haven't had a chance to see it yet, but I really want to.
Yeah, John DiMaggio.
Yes! Is... A.K.A. Bender.
Yeah.
Drama.
I can't remember if he... I don't think he... Does he direct? He might have directed it, or he might have just been the face of it.
I know, but he was the narrator.
Yeah. Yeah, he was definitely involved. There is a review of it on the website, so I can put a link in the show notes.
Woo!
Okay, I think we've covered that story.
All right. Anything else going on?
Yes, quite a lot. We talked last week about the films that we were most excited about, and one of the ones we talked about was the new Cartoon Saloon movie, The Breadwinner, which has been directed by Nora Toomey. And we basically went, well, why can't we watch it now? And we talked about how long we'd have to wait and everything. Well, this week it's been announced that he has officially entered production. They've started work on key animation and stuff. And to celebrate, they have released a bunch of beautiful images from it. So you can check those out. They have released... Is it? Yeah, there we go. 4 images so far, and they look in the line with normal cartoon saloon thing, but obviously it's a very different setting because it's set in Afghanistan in Taliban era, and yes, it looks beautiful. Would you not agree?
Yeah, the landscapes are really, really nice, especially with the different location shots. Like I said, the one with I think with our main, I believe that might be our main character walking down a set of stairs with all the buildings behind her. That's a really, really like the look of the setting. Capturing the location, I think.
It's based on a young adult novel from an author called Deborah Ellis, who's a Canadian author. And it is about a young girl in Afghanistan who has to disguise herself as a boy to become the breadwinner of a family when her father is unfairly imprisoned. And they've also released some of the main cast members. And Sara Chowdhury is going to be playing the lead role.
Oh, hey!
And she is apparently from something called Max and Shred, which I'm sorry, I don't know what that is. I should have researched, but I didn't, sorry.
That's okay, that's all right.
Someone else is going to be played by someone called Soma Bhatia. The main character's parents are going to be played by Laura Sadiq and Ali Badshah. And the other people they've cast, someone called Shaista Latif and Kawa Adar. And they are going to be... the cast of this film.
Very nice.
They apparently tried to cast as many people with who are of Afghan descent, or at least from that area, which is very good.
Yeah.
Because obviously that's something that needs to be done. If they were going to cast a bunch of like white voice actors, then people would be going, hang on,
Yeah, it's like they would be screaming whitewashing all over again.
I mean, when you look at like at Kubo and the Two Strings, and they're like, there aren't enough Asian actors. We have to cast all these famous white people, and then Cartoon Saloon have gone, oh look, we found all these Asian people.
Like, good. It makes the film a bit, you know, a bit more authentic that way, or makes the story seem authentic. So that's good.
From what I've heard, though, Angelina Jolie was quite adamant, or you know, it was a big push in the fact that they should cast from the right area of the world. And I think good. It's all good. It's definitely a positive step.
Definitely.
I have to say, I don't recognise the names just because. I don't, I'm sorry. But I completely trust Cartoon Saloon, so hey.
Likewise.
I can't say I recognise many of the voices in the other Cartoon Saloon movies either, apart from what's his name? What's he called? Irish fella, obviously. Brendan Gleeson.
Oh, okay. Brendan.
Yeah, yeah. He's about the only known name, I think, in those, really. Or known outside Ireland, anyway. I think there are more people in it who are known within Ireland, but not outside so much.
Well, at the very least, I'm looking forward to seeing this film and the cast and the look of the film. Just so, I mean, maybe this film would be a good way to expose, you know, all the cast members who haven't already had, you know, have had a lot of acting work. Maybe they can just, you know, there could be a breakout movie for them.
And this is. The film is expected to be completed next summer, so not quite sure how long it'll be before it comes out. Maybe 2018, or hopefully. Be nice if it was sooner than that, but
because we're already chomping at the bit to watch it.
But obviously, if they're not going to finish it till next summer, then I don't know if they mean the animation will be finished next summer, or because then you've obviously got all the post production and everything. But the interesting thing is it has a distributor. It has a distributor for Canada, Elevation Pictures, because it's a Canadian co-production. And there is a distributor set for the UK and Ireland, which is Studio Canal, who distributed Song of the Sea and Secret of Kells in UK and Ireland. But at the moment, there isn't an American distributor. So, currently, I mean, there's an obvious candidate.
Yes, there is.
I mean, I could certainly think of a company that might like to release it. And they might rhyme with bids.
If we had any like visual camera, I'd be like looking up, slowly batting my eyes, just like, please, G Kids, please look alive, please distribute this, please. I'd be forever grateful.
Yeah, how can you say no to that, G Kids? you're not going to make Rachel sad, are you?
No more sad pandas, please.
But yeah, I would have thought it would be sooner rather than later. The only thing is, because of all their interest with their double Oscar nomination and everything, there might be the possibility of competition for the rights for America.
Oh.
I mean, they might have other people coming after it this time.
Mm-hmm.
But I would have thought, probably, that G Kids might have, you know, a bit of a foot in because of the record of them doing, well, basically getting them two Oscar nominations.
yeah, that kind of helps.
So, you know, even if maybe someone offers a bit more money, perhaps they'll be, hey, you've been good to us.
Like, you remember, like, who got the, you know, made sure this film got an Oscar nomination again?
I mean, they're experts at this point. I mean, they just got two this year as well.
I know. They're going for it. I'm really hoping.
I mean,
go ahead.
They're like the best people at it outside Disney and Pixar.
Can't argue with that.
So, yeah. Well, we shall have to see when it gets the US distributor, but I wouldn't have thought it'd be too long.
Nah.
Unless there is a lot of competition. Tell you something that has got a US distributor, though. Hey, hey.
Yeah, segue. Again, we're going for two now.
Yeah. Yeah, expert. And that is the Studio Ghibli co-production that is directed by Michael Dudok DeWitt, and that is The Red Turtle.
Yes.
That we have also been talking about rather a lot.
It's kind of hard to ignore, really.
Yeah. So the trailer came out last week, and it was beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And then this week it was showed in... it had its premiere at the Cannes Film Festival, where it got really good reviews, unsurprisingly, perhaps. And it then was picked up for release in North America and Latin America by Sony Pictures Classics.
Oh, hey!
So, they released Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, so they should be able to get a big release for that, I would have thought.
I would think so. It's trying to think, like, you know, I was going to think of very other films that I could think of that they've distributed that I would recognize, but it's like I'm so distracted by the fact that I'm just so happy that this is already signed up to be distributed in the US. I'm just like, oh, I'll be able to see it.
Yes, you will.
Yay!
And it should be at cinema near you, because I'm sure they can actually get it to have a decent release.
Mm-hmm.
Mind you, if it had been released by G-Kids, they probably would have given it a decent release. Well, they would have as well. Mm-hmm. But this might be wider. I don't know.
Did it also win any... Because it was at a film festival. Was it also win any awards?
Yes! It has... It played in the Une Certaine Regard category. The Une Certaine Regard category is designed to reward... young talent or in innovative and audacious works.
Huh.
And I saw a picture of Michael Dudok DeWitt, and it looks like he's not. He's not a spring chicken, so I don't. It's not the young talent in this case. But it is obviously innovative and audacious, they think. So it played in that category, and it has won the special jury prize.
Oh, hey, nice!
So that's not the main top award. There's like the big Une Certaine Regard award, and then there's the director's award and a screenplay award.
Mm-hmm.
But there is also a special jury prize, and it is a different jury to the Palme d'Or, which is the main event at Cannes, but still a big deal.
Yeah, definitely. Especially like if this was its premiere, like if it's very mm-hmm. first film festival, it got an award right out of the gate. That's definitely promising.
Yes, and they have released the trailer and also a short extract for it's a couple of minutes clip as well. I want to see this so bad.
Yeah, that same year. Our opinion has not changed since the last time we talked about the Red Turtle. We are still very eager. Much like Kubo and the Two Strings, it's like the more we see of it, the more we want to see it. Just like right this second, just kind of. It's like, but it's still, you know, patience is a virtue. So it's like, we'll see it when we see it, and we'll be very much we'll be very happy to talk about it once they've both come out. So hey.
I have to make a confession that when I very first heard about this film,
yeah,
I was sort of a bit sceptical in that I was thinking, this isn't a real Ghibli film.
Oh!
I was like, I don't know who this guy is. I haven't seen his films. I'm like, why are they doing this? I want another Ghibli film, proper Ghibli film, please. I was just like, I was a bit disappointed that it wasn't a full-blooded Ghibli film that we're used to.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like this is watered down. But when I started actually seeing things from it, I was like, oh, this is pretty. And then I saw first pictures, I was like, oh, okay, all right. And then when I heard basically how involved Takahata was,
yeah,
it sort of, I was like, okay, I'm on board now. And having seen the trailer now, it's just like, yes, I need to see it yesterday.
So this is a really good partnership that they are putting this through this film, and it can only lead to good things, in my opinion.
Yeah, definitely. And then we've got Dudok DeWitt to watch as a new talent. Hopefully, well,
yeah,
obviously he's done lots of shorts, but and this film is going to be dialogue free, supposedly.
That is another aspect of the film that I don't know if we've really had a chance to talk about before, but I was really fascinated by. This is a completely silent film. I wouldn't say silent film, but because, you know, sound effects and all that, but still, like, actually no spoken dialogue. That's tough to do in a full-length feature film. So, but I am very, very excited to see the Red Turtle pull it off.
Yeah, well, they did it in Shaun the Sheep.
Yeah, that's very true.
Yes.
It's not like I'm not saying it can't be done, but normally a lot of filmmakers don't go that route because it's really tricky to pull off. But, you know, I know Aardman can do it because they know good silent comedy.
They certainly do. And this looks like they know silent drama. I don't know.
silent drama, adventure, fantasy.
Yeah.
Whatever category this film will fall into.
I can't remember how much we sort of went into the trailer last week, but the interesting thing about it is that, because you've seen pictures of, because it's about a guy who's stranded on a desert island,
mm-hmm.
and supposedly the Red Turtle is the thing that tries to stop him escaping. He tries to build a raft and stuff, and the Red Turtle's like, no, not having any of it.
Breaks the raft, the guy stuck back on the island.
But there's been pictures of like him with a woman, and I think him with a little kid and things. And I sort of thought maybe that was from like before he gets stranded.
Mm-hmm.
But it from the trailer, you could tell he gets stranded alone, and then like the woman comes aboard, so he's gonna take comes ashore, and looks like they have a kid, so it's gonna take place over quite a long period of time.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
Not entirely sure. Yeah, I'm not entirely sure what that's all about and how that ties back to the film's title and the, you know, the titular Red Turtle.
Mm-hmm.
I've got my suspicions, but I'm not entirely sure if, you know, from just the trailer, I can't really say anything for sure. So I'm just going to let myself watch the movie and wait for the movie, watch it and be surprised.
But it sure looks pretty.
Yeah, that is for darn certain.
Cool. I think that was it for news, wasn't it?
I think so. So I think that would be a good time to transition into what we've been watching this week. Would you like to start us off, Chris?
Okay. I watched a movie called Moomins on the Riviera.
Now I'll admit, I'm not too familiar with that name, but I remember you showed me some pictures of the Moomins, and I think I vaguely remember seeing them once or twice, maybe while I was living in London, I think? I don't know.
Well, the Moomins are they are some characters that were created by a Finnish creator, apparently back in about 1946 originally. So it goes way back. There were novels or books anyway, but then there were also later comic strips. And they're these, for anyone who doesn't know, they're these sort of, they look kind of like hippos. They're fictional characters. And in the original version, the main character is called Moomin Troll, I think. But in the English translations, it's just normally referred to as Moomin.
Mm-hmm.
And he lives with his mum and his dad, who are called Moomin Mama and Moomin Papa. And they live in the Moomin Valley. And it does raise some questions, like, was Moomin Papa called Moomin Papa before Moomin was born? Or is it like a title? So he is like Moomin was he just called Moomin? And then when they had a baby, he took on the title of Moomin Papa, and the title of Moomin was passed down to Moomin.
My brain's already spinning.
And was Moomin Mama called Moomin Mama before she met Moomin Papa? Or was she... did she have a different name? I don't know.
And did she have a maiden name? That's the big question here.
And then Moomin's girlfriend is called Snork Maiden, because she is the sister of Snork. So is that her maiden name? And if she marries Moomin, then she becomes Moomin Mama? I don't know.
It's like one of those questions, like, how many licks does it take to get to the center of a Tootsie Pop, man? I don't know.
None of this is relevant to what... basically, they're a bunch of hippo pigs living in a valley. And there was a TV series that was a Japanese co-production with a bunch of other countries, and it was shown on the BBC... And it was in the 90s. Basically, there's been loads of animated Moomins, like going back to like the 50s. There's been like stop motion animation and puppets and everything.
Oh, wow.
And I think like sort of older people remember there was like a stop motion one that was like on in the 70s or something that they remember as their Moomins. But the one I remember is the one that was on in the 90s,
mm-hmm.
which was... a bit of an anime style one, slightly, it introduced me to all the sort of Moomin characters, because there are these brilliant creations and stuff. Like there's this they're like mythical characters. Like there are these little creatures called Hattie Fatteners they look kind of like ghosts with like octopus eyes and things. Ooh. And there's this character called the Gronk who comes in the valley. No, the Groke, I think, who comes in the valley and turns everything to ice.
Oh,
and
wow!
There's all these great stories and everything.
Yeah, it sounds like something out of like a local folk tale or fairy tale.
Yeah, that's completely what it is. But this film is one that was made. Like in 2014, it's a 2D animated, I think it is French/Finnish co-production.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the Finnish, because, you know, that's where the Moomins are from originally.
Okay.
And it's actually based on the comic strips rather than the books. Most of the animated films have been based on the books, but this is based on the comic strips.
Okay.
And the story is that they go off to the Riviera, which is a sunny place,
mm-hmm.
and you know they're like these characters who live there. They're very sheltered lives and everything, and everything's very, very cozy and old fashioned and everything. And they go to the Riviera, where there's all these rich people,
mm-hmm.
Who live in luxury and everything, and they don't even know what money is.
So it's like a bit of a fish out of water kind of story.
That's exactly what. That's exactly what it is. But the thing is, when it starts and it's in Moomin Valley, I was just like in love with it, because it was like the animation is beautiful. It just looks like it could come out of like old like storybooks, basically. It's got like this really sort of clean and flat look. It's based on the comic book illustrations, but they're black and white.
Mm-hmm.
But it's got quite a limited color palette, so. All flat colours and everything, and it just looks gorgeous.
Just like little like pastels, kind of brighter colours.
Yeah, sort of. You can. There's a trailer for it in the review that I wrote for it.
Okay.
So you can check it out. And basically everything, when they're just messing around in the valley and everything, and it's just like, oh, this is proper Moomins. It's great. I love it. But then sort of when they go off to the Riviera, it's just like, it loses it a bit, just because the story is... It's apparently... It is from the original comics, the story, but it just doesn't... It seems a bit far removed from their normal stories.
Okay.
And it's like... So I'd rather watch them messing around with Hattie Fatteners and the Gronk the Grogu and everything. But this story is just a culture clash or whatever.
Yeah. Sometimes when it comes to certain like ideas or like fairy tales, trying to push it into a more like modern kind of like setting does not transition really well.
Yeah, like Moomin Papa, one of his character traits is that he always wants to write his memoirs, and he's always talking about the adventures he's been on and everything. And he's sitting there telling people about his adventures, and I'm thinking, I want to watch his adventures instead. I want to watch that one. I don't want to see him sitting in a deck chair talking to some bloke on the beach.
Show, don't tell kind of thing.
Yeah. So it's like, it's beautiful. It's really lovely 2D animation and everything. And, you know, it's all very sweet and everything, but it's a bit underwhelming, really. And it's like, I would have, if it was like all like the beginning, I'd be like, oh, I love this. And I would love to see like the same team, like do a Moomin TV series that looked like that. It'd be amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently there is a new Moomin TV series in production, but I don't think it's the same people.
Oh.
It's got some British people who, attached to direct is Steve Box, Academy Award winner director for Best Animated Feature. Oh, there you go. He worked on Wallace and Gromit: Curse of the Were-Rabbit.
No
so,
way.
Yeah. He's an Aardman veteran.
Hey, awesome.
Yeah. So there we go. They've got some very good talent attached to it. So.
No worries.
Mm-hmm. We shall expect good things. Yeah. There's a picture of him. And he's got characters from Curse of the Were-Rabbit behind him. So
nice.
I saw the name and I knew I'd heard it somewhere before. I was like, I know that.
Wait. Well, that's probably why.
Yeah, because he was a new co-director on Curse of the Were-Rabbit. So there we go.
Sweet.
So big deal, guy. Awesome. So Curse of the Were-Rabbit is good, obviously. But Moomin's on the Riviera. It's okay. It's pretty, you know, just it's didn't blow me away or anything. If you like Moomins, you probably like it, but it's not quite as Moominy as you might want.
It's Moominy for at least the first half of the film, and then latter part of the film kind of loses it a little bit.
But you might just want to watch the old TV series instead. Oh, by the way, I watched this on. It was on UK Netflix, so you can watch it there if you've got Netflix and you're in the UK, or have access to Netflix UK. From what I looked up, it hasn't been released in America anywhere.
Oh, okay.
But that's partly, obviously, because Americans don't know who Moomin's
are.
Yeah,
that's probably why.
There you go.
Like I said, I think the only reason I know, these were the character designs that I saw only looked slightly familiar, but that's only because I lived in England for couple of years of my life, before I turned 10, so that's probably where I would recognize them from. But I didn't actually, when you said the movement, I was like, wait, I don't remember what that is. But
the funny thing was about the old 90s series, because I think I was watching it. It apparently was made in 1990, but I'm pretty sure it was a few years after that when it actually aired on the BBC.
Mm-hmm.
because it was the people who dubbed it were the same people who used to dub like all the old manga video.
Really?
Oh yeah. So there were like these voices like I might have been watching it when I was about 12 or something. So I'd started watching. Watching anime videos and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I know that voice. that voice is from Dominion Tank Police. What's that voice from Dominion Tank Police doing in Moomins?
That's great.
Because it was like done. It was done in sunny Cardiff in Wales. But people putting up either American expats or people putting on American accents for some reason. Because that's the thing we used to do, apparently.
Oh, right.
It's like, let's pretend to be American. you might not know this, but everything American is impossibly glamorous and exciting.
So, oh. we like to pretend it is, anyway.
So there you go. So, you know, I just sit here the whole time thinking, this is so glamorous and exciting. So there you go. So, yeah.
Cool.
And that was, yeah. Yeah, and those dubs were very glamorous and exciting, even though they were done in Wales. Woo. But yeah, I love that old movies cartoon.
I'll need to look into it at some point to see if I maybe could find it on like a clip or something on YouTube or something. So I don't know if I'd be able to find access to it anywhere else. If you do, let me know. Yeah.
Here they are for one and all, the Moomins are about to call. Come on and sit down here with me, they're here for you on your TV. They are the Moomins, they are the Moomins. So come with me, give me your hand, I'll take you up to Moomin Land. You can fly just like a bird, and sing the best song ever heard. There with the Moomins, there were 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 the Moomins. Ba 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 ba.
Yeah, so that's what I've been watching. What about you?
Not a whole heck of a lot. Like I said, there's another new Steven Universe episode this week, and we got some new backstory on a character that we've been introduced to for a while, but we hadn't really seen too much of her. Like she's been around, but like she's there and then she's gone. But this is now, like with this particular episode, we're now introducing her a bit more and getting her backstory. And there's a promise that we'll be able to see a little bit more of her, at least more often than she used to pop up. So. Very exciting to see more about this character and then to see that the cast members for the show are increasing. Get to see a lot of different, promising a lot more character dynamics to evolve as the show goes on. So I'm excited to see that. And one other thing that I got the opportunity to watch, I've seen more than a few of the DC animated films, but not a whole lot of the recent ones that have been coming out. Like, I think the last one, what was the last one that I watched before this was, like, I think it was Batman and the Red Hood was the latest DC animated film that I had seen, because I know they've been doing a whole ton. But that's been going on for quite a while. But the most recent one that I just watched, I had the opportunity to watch this week, was one of the Batman films, Batman Bad Blood, which I believe the plot is... Batman actually goes missing. There's a whole kind of conspiracy going on with the League of Shadows, led by Talia al Ghul. And Batman gets kidnapped. He's incognito for quite a while. And so everyone starts noticing he's gone. And of course, you know, criminal activity skyrockets. And so Alfred calls in Dick Grayson, a.k.a. Who's Nightwing at this point, basically calls him back and is like, yeah, Bruce has been gone for a long time, and we need, you know, obviously people are starting to notice, and we need to kind of keep things under control. And so basically, Dick Grayson's like, fine, and puts on the Batman costume, and basically takes over Bruce's job for at least a good portion of the film. And he works alongside this movie universe's Robin, which is, oh gosh, what was the kid's name? I don't care for this character much, so I don't really try to... Oh, Damian Wayne. Who's the most recent Robin, I believe, and Bruce's biological son with Talia al Ghul.
Oh.
Yeah, he's... What can you say about Damian Wayne? He's a little... He's not... His character's not terrible. He's just, a lot of people find him generally annoying because he was raised by Talia to be a member of the League of Assassins. So he's very confident in his, you know, martial arts skills and just very kind of, you know, what's the proper word I'm looking for? Overconfident in his abilities. And, basically doesn't like it when other people talk down to him just because he's a kid. So it's sometimes it, in terms of the what they can use him for in the stories, it can make him a bit more of a annoying to have him. But it was having him with Dick Grayson and the banter between those two was made the film a little bit more bearable. And we had a couple other introductions. We had Batwoman. I think it was her name. I can't remember the character's name, but there was Batwoman and also another character who's the son of Lucius Fox, who becomes Batwing, also makes an appearance. Basically, the whole movie is supposed to be talking more about the, not just Batman, but the people who he works with, who they call the Bat Family. And they have to stop Talia's plot to try and bring the world under the control of the League of Assassins. So it's not, as far as the other animated films for the DC animated series, I've seen better. There have been better interpretations of different stories in the DC universe with the different characters. But still, I like the idea of having, of expanding more on the whole, you know, whole cast of characters that, you know, focus around Batman, not just his rogues gallery, but the people who work with him. There's, you know, Alfred gets his time in the spotlight. He actually, you know, plays a big part in taking down the bad guys, which is really awesome. And the fact that Dick Grayson got a whole lot more spotlight was really, really cool. So it's again, not the greatest film I've ever seen. The animation was good, nothing to write home about. At least it's in the same quality as the rest of the DC animated films. So if you like the way those films look, you're going to like this film. But yeah, it was a good watch. Definitely glad I saw it.
Yeah, I've only seen a couple of those DC animated things.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't crazy about the ones I saw.
Yeah, were the ones that you saw?
I saw one that was a Justice League one, I think. It might have been like a parallel universe one or something.
Oh, was that Flashpoint?
Might have been. I don't know.
Oh boy, yeah. I can understand not being on board with that one, because that was a big one. A lot of it's a very jarring entry, I think, because of just the whole. It takes the DC universe you know and basically turns the whole thing on its head.
And I think I saw a Batman Superman one as well. Like, was it World's Finest or something like that?
Oh, yes. That was a animated version of the comic of the same name.
Mm-hmm. I'm not all that knowledgeable about the actual. I know things as far as the movies pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't even watched the recent movie.
That's but, okay.
I know more about the Marvel stuff because I've been watching that.
Straight up, you're more Marvel than DC. That's nothing wrong with that.
Well, my favorite was always like Batman and Superman, mm-hmm. but then the Marvel movies came along, and they're like, I'm on board with these. These are fun. I like them. And I know, yeah, a lot of people are sick of them, but I'm not yet. So.
Well, people are just sick of the fact that they just continuously do so well. It's like, darn it, Marvel! Stop making good movies! It's like, no, don't stop making good movies, really. I really like these, personally. But people, it's just like, oh, how can they keep producing hit after hit after hit? Is it possible?
You can't really compare them to things like Transformers. I can't understand people who like compare them to things like Transformers,
yeah, no,
or whatever. They're just
no.
The quality is so much better. It's insane.
Oh,
like,
so much better than Transformers, and I'm a Transformers fan, people. That's hard for me to say.
Just not the movies.
The very first one is a guilty pleasure, but that's only because that was the very first live action Transformers film we ever got. So.
You know what? The first one, Steven Spielberg had quite a influence mm-hmm. over. It was executive produced by Steven Spielberg, and he gave advice and things about it being like the story of a boy in his first car and things. Mm-hmm. So I actually think the first one's all right. I've only seen it once, but when it came out.
Yeah.
I thought it was all right.
The humor does get harder to laugh at the more you see it, I found, though. That's true for almost all of the films.
I watched the second one, and I've stopped after that.
Yeah, no, believe me, I tried to hold out hope for the third one. My hopes were dashed, and I have not seen a film since.
I don't understand the thing of people who are just like, well, all the other films in this series sucked, but I'm going to go and see this one because it's Transformers or whatever, or it's DC or whatever. You know, just the thing, I have to go and see it because I'm a nerd, and this film is a nerdy thing that it's aimed at me. Like, no, you don't. You don't have to go and see it.
Because that's what people are. That's what people like Michael Bay are hoping for. It's like they literally said, he said in one interview, both him and Megan Fox said when they were referring to Ninja Turtles, I think, people are going to see them anyway, regardless of how, you know, they didn't say this word for word, but just like the people will see these films no matter what they think of it. You know, paid or, you know, people can hate on the movie, people will still go see it. It's like, well, certain people are proving them right, because regardless of whether or not the films are good, people do still go see them.
I mean, I know people who, like, hate all the Marvel movies, but go and see all of them. And it's like, well, why do you do that?
Isn't that counterproductive?
Because they want to be part of the conversation, I suppose, but or because they like the comics. But it's just like, if you don't like any of them, don't... It's a waste of time.
Go watch films you will like.
Exactly. It's barely. Mm.
Anyways.
Yeah, anyway.
Us, off topic, I never would have thought. Only other thing that I've watched this week that's worth mentioning, probably by the time that we get this podcast episode up, the game will have already come out, but I just thought I might as well mention the very last animated short that they made for Overwatch. The title was Heroes. And I don't know what they're doing over there at Blizzard. I don't know who's in charge of this project for directing these animated shorts and, you know, how they come up for the different ones and focusing on the different characters. But they get better and better every single, each new one that comes out. This, like, I really enjoyed the one that they did last time, which was the one focusing on the two brothers, the simply titled Dragons. That one I thought was my favorite, and I didn't think I was going to find anything else to top it. Then this one came out. And I'm just like, damn it, Overwatch. You're making me want to play this game so bad, but I have a feeling that it's not going to have the single-player story mode that I'm hoping for. Because that's what this game is making me want. The more I see these animated shorts, like, oh, I really want to see, like, a single-player campaign with this video game and just really love the hell out of that, because it's already promising to be a really cool story. But I'm not going to get it, because I'm looking more game footage than I'm seeing. It's going to be a multiplayer game, like Team Fortress 2, which is great and everything if you're into that, you know. Have at it, because it looks like it's going to be a really good one. But I'm the kind of person who really likes a good story-driven video game. And yeah. Overwatch just looks like it's got all the right points to make a really good one. But it's not going to be there. This makes me very sad.
Sad panda again.
Listen to this episode and making me very sad about too many things.
Oh, no, Rachel.
But if you have the opportunity to see that short, I highly recommend it. Just to enjoy all the hard work that Blizzard's put into this and getting people hyped up for this game. It's been a very effective advertising campaign.
I haven't seen the latest one, but the ones I've seen so far, I really like, apart from Tracer's accent, which is offensive and racist, but otherwise...
I'm sorry?
Her Cockney accent, it's offensive, racist, and... Yeah. It's like, oh no, that's terrible.
Sorry.
Otherwise.
Sorry for everyone who doesn't like them.
It's like... You see, because I'm basically half Cockney.
Oh, my okay.
My mum's from the East End, so mm-hmm. you know, it's like this is offensive to my heritage.
It's clearly a faked Cockney.
Yeah, it's fine. It's all right. I'm not really offended, okay. But it is rubbish. It is a bad accent, but it's one of those American Cockney accents that's quite funny. But
at least the characters, regardless of her accent, the character herself looks pretty awesome.
Yes, yeah, I will accept that.
But yeah, that's everything I've had the chance to watch this week. So I guess we'll go from there. And we'll go into our main topic for the day, which would be discussing the anime Titan. I guess because you have Titan, because it's a very long anime series and also an equally long manga series, One Piece.
Come aboard and bring along all your hopes and dreams. Together we will find everything that we're looking for. One Piece. Compass left behind, it'll only slow us down. Your heart will be your guide. Raise the sails and take the helm. That legendary place that the end of the map reveals is only legendary till someone proves it real.
Woo.
Woohoo! Where do we even begin with this thing? I would say maybe we could start talking about how we were introduced to it, perhaps?
Yeah, I'm trying to think back. I'm not sure if I read the comic first or... I know, I have to confess, I'm pretty sure the first episode I saw, it might have been way back in the day, and it might have been found some possibly.
Oh, okay.
But before it was officially licensed or anything, possibly. Maybe.
It does exist out like, there, and you can stumble across those things without even really trying to.
I don't condone that sort
Neither
of thing.
Neither do I.
And I would not do that anymore, but I was the younger person.
And it was a different time back then when it came to watching anime of, you know, dubbed or not, or subbed or whatever. You know, it was almost, if unless you like really dug, it was like almost impossible to find anything.
But the first place I properly saw it was it was on Toonami. We in the UK, Toonami used to be a separate channel for a while, at least. I know it's a block on Cartoon Network in the US,
yeah.
But it had its own channel, and they showed One Piece, and obviously they showed the four kids dub.
Yep.
The travesty that was the four kids dub.
Which, ironically speaking, if I may say, they wouldn't have aired it if Japan hadn't okayed it.
I mean, I still enjoyed it. Just because it's One Piece.
Yep.
But those the modifications are insane. They're like, oh, it's no one smoking.
He's sucking on a lollipop.
Oh, look, it's a water pistol. It's just when
I'm
you realize
I'm threatening your life with a water pistol.
It's like everything they've cut out. When like if you watch that first and then you go to the real One Piece and you realize like how often things like, you know, death is mentioned, mm-hmm. or people are threatened, or there's a gun, a cigarette, or cleavage or something, and you're just like, and all of it. It's like, how did they think that they could?
How did they think they could hide this?
Yeah, it's like there's so much in it. I mean, I know it's basically a kids show in Japan, but there's so much in it that's not really considered family friendly in the West,
yeah.
Or maybe in France. I don't know. yeah.
Well,
so
at the same time, it's just like we've had. I mean, a lot of kids in the U.S., like, people who grew up with Disney, I mean, Disney, for the most part, doesn't shy away too much from having some pretty scary death scenes and with some of their, from some of the characters. And, I mean, Mufasa, hello. And, you know, like, kids, you know, kids will get upset about that, but they keep going. So I'm just wondering, like, well, if you've got, you know, if you have an audience that's been exposed to that, then why is all of a sudden all this other stuff that's presented in this series, all of a sudden it's like, oh no, we can't have that. We got to tone it down a little bit. We got to make, turn the cigarette into a lollipop and a water, a gun to a water pistol or whatever the heck we feel like we can copy over and get away with.
It's because you couldn't have it on TV. You could have it in movies, but you couldn't have it on TV because that's why you used to get, like old Voltron episodes or whatever, like, something explodes. He's okay. I did on the dub.
No, oh, yes, I know exactly what you're referring to because one or two times I've watched, was like, oh yeah, right. They did that.
No, no one's dead. It's okay.
Because we can't do it on TV, kids.
So I think that was the first time I saw the anime. I think, and then I'm not sure when I read the manga, but it was when it first came out in the UK, whenever that was. They did, like, UK editions of the manga, probably not long after it came out in the US. Mm-hmm. And we used to be able to get, used to go down the bookshop, they had all the comic, they had all the manga volumes, and used to occasionally get an awesome 2-3-for-2 offer. And used to go, oh, I'm going to buy some manga, and you go, oh, I'll buy that one, and that one, and that one. And come home with lots of excellent stuff. Or I might have got it from online, I don't know. But that manga is awesome. So it's pretty much sort of the height of shonen.
Yeah, manga. It's basically everything everyone loves about shonen, you know, series in general. It's all there.
Turned up to 11. I'm going to be the king of pirates.
Going to be the pirate king, sail the seven seas, find the legendary treasure, get this wacky ragtag crew.
So when did you come across it first?
Yeah, I do. It was, I'd already moved back to the U.S. at the time, and I was, I was in high school, actually. Like early high school, and you know, my I had a good friend who I would watch anime with, or we would watch Avatar: The Last Airbender. Like every single time they would air a new episode, we would watch that, and we would talk about, you know, new stuff coming out, and we were already watching Naruto, but then she told me that she had seen this anime about pirates. And I'm like, oh, hey, that sounds neat. Let's watch that. And then she showed me an episode of the Four Kids dub. And I was baffled, really, because I wanted, like, the creativity in terms of, like, the scenarios, the fact that these, you know, these pirates had superpowers from eating this, like, superpowered fruit or whatever. And, you know, just the whole high seas shenanigans that they get up to. I really enjoyed that. But at least with the way the dub was handled in certain aspects of it, it's like, it did seem a little bit too kiddish for me. It didn't bother my friend at all, but she saw all the good stuff for what it was. And, you know, and like, I just took a little bit longer to convince me to get on board because the fact that it was just this, some of the way the lines in the dub were handled. And obviously the whole thing with the lollipop and the water pistols and everything. And I just kind of sat there going, no, there's no way that can be real. So there's no way this is real. And then turns out later, I found out I was right. It wasn't real because I happened across, like, say, I think it was when YouTube was in its infancy. People would put up those fan subs on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you're browsing around on YouTube and you happen upon this stuff by accident. And so I watched it in actual Japanese subs. And then I was like, oh, wait, this is what it's supposed to be like. Damn, why didn't we get this? I would love to watch this. And so then when Funimation announced that they were going to, you know, officially be dubbing it on TV, I got on board with that and just watched the hell out of that. But I also watched a good bit in The Four Kids as well, because we, like my, like I mentioned, my friend and I would just watch all these anime, you know, when they release new episodes every single week on Toonami or what have you, and we ended up watching a majority of that, and it's fun. It's almost every single time I watch it, it's one of those series, like, I can't not smile.
Yeah.
It's just really kind of, even when it gets really super serious, because I think that's one of the things that makes it a little bit hard to recommend, at least for people who aren't, you know, used to watching anime. It can be kind of whiplash. I mean, it's almost kind of the whiplashing, kind of like you, because you'll be have like really zany humor in 1 minute, and then the plot moves further along, and then you'll have something like really serious happen. And you'll see, like, all the characters get, like, you know, really angry or just upset about something. And it's, like, legitimately, like, upsetting. Like, I forget, what was it? The arc with one of the crewmates, Nami, her backstory. Mm-hmm. And everything when her island that she grew up on gets taken over by mermen, fishmen, pirates.
Yeah.
And basically, literally, you know, she's... Hell, like her, let's see, what's that? Her adopted mother's literally killed in front of her, and then she's kind of forced to work for these pirates to make maps. And it's just like this entire scenario. Like the more layers they peel back on that backstory, it's just like, this is horrifying. This is really traumatic.
Basically, everyone has a tragic backstory.
Yeah, that's a trend with almost every single character that's introduced in this crew. They all have this like. Shared trauma, I guess.
it's like the X Factor or something, where all the contestants are like, "Oh, I'm here because my dad has lupus." Or something. Yeah, they all have tragic backstories. But it's like you say, it's mostly just so entertaining.
With the layer of tragedy that they add, it really adds depth to the characters. It's like it's something that they've dealt with in their past experience, but it doesn't, you see it as they, you know, interact with stuff in the present, unless it's something, you know, directly calling back to their past. They don't let it affect them all that much.
I just love the way Luffy is basically, where it's just, he's just absolute, he can, all, you know, all that tragedy or whatever, and he's just like, oh, that's, you know, he'll meet someone who's like the scariest new enemy they've ever met, and he's like, oh, you're so cool. he's basically just like the most enthusiastic, he's like, you know, he's like fanboy of everything. He's like, oh, everything's great, I love it, everything's wonderful.
As long as it's an adventure, he is all over that. It's either that or food.
Yeah, he's like an enthusiastic puppy, like just running around, just go, just like everything he finds, just like, oh, this is the best thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And you know, also he's basically an idiot, which is great. He's
like, if you thought Goku had his idiotic moments, like Luffy, like you said, takes it all those lovable like shonen tropes and takes it up to 11. Like Luffy is like, if he didn't have his crew to take care of him, yeah, he'd like, you literally see him start out on his own. He's in a freaking barrel that got washed down a whirlpool.
Well, like, the whole fact that he ate the devil fruit in the first place just shows that he's not the sharpest tool in the...
Well, no, because they very clearly explain that you eat one of those things, you'll get these amazing powers. One problem, you can't swim.
Bit of a problem for a pirate, you might say.
And there are quite a few pirates who have eaten those things, so it's just like, you know, they're all risking something when they go out in the water.
I think, like, for a lot of... I know, like, didn't take off with like American and UK fans necessarily straight away in the same way that it did in Japan, because I think people thought, oh, it doesn't, you know, they want their anime to look more anime, and it's got its own unique style. It's like more sort of cartoony.
Yeah, it looks more like a Western cartoon than a traditional anime series to an extent.
And like, I mean, even like the battles, they've sort of got an almost sort of, you know, superhero type feel to them, rather than your typical manga battle, really.
Yeah, that's very true. And that's, which is funny, because you think if that's the case, then it would transition fine overseas, but I don't know if that, I don't want to pin blame on the Four Kids dub, but it just, I don't know if it was just some part of the transition between East and West that just something just did not click right away, but that once people had a better idea of the general scope of the series, that then it's, then that's when it finally started to get, you know, more popular.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know, I do know, at least with the, in terms of in the U.S., when it came to, because I know that One Piece came out around in the U.S. around the same time both Naruto and Bleach were running. And I know, yeah, Naruto was definitely a top contender for shonen anime in the U.S., with Bleach running not too far behind. And One Piece was fortunately kind of dragging along in the back, which is almost, I think, complete opposite of how it was in Japan.
Yeah, it's the biggest thing in anime in Japan. It's just the huge, it's the juggernaut, mm-hmm, over there. It's just the biggest show in the world, I think.
And it's still going, much like Naruto, it's still going.
Yeah, it started in 1999, I think, and it's been going ever since. And you speak, like, every week he does a new chapter, mm-hmm, more or less. And then the TV series is going at the same time, and it's just like...
With not only episodes following the manga storyline, but also tons and tons of filler.
Mm, so but I don't find it as... It does filler as badly.
No, definitely not.
It's like, sometimes I haven't even been able to tell that it's filler.
Yeah, that's actually, I remember if... My actual article that where I was talking about filler, One Piece, I did mention, was probably one of the best examples of filler in anime. Both that and Dragon Ball knew where to put in filler episodes where it wasn't glaringly obvious, so that it was, mm-hmm, just when these episodes happened, it was just another adventure, you know, just another addition to the whole story. Not something that was actually taking away from the main story, like, unfortunately, Naruto is currently... been experiencing.
I think there have been a couple of times in it that I've been watching it and going, I think this might be a filler arc, just because I thought it just seems a little slightly down on unusual, but it never, I don't think it's ever, there's ever been a, or up where I've got to, which I'm way behind, because I've been watching it at the pace of the UK releases. I did watch, like, a load on Hulu ages, mm-hmm, ago. But then I started watching it as the UK box sets were coming out, because I was doing it to review for the magazine. So I basically got lucked out and got it as my, I got to review it for like about 10 volumes worth.
Oh, wow.
Before it ended up being given to someone else, I think. I haven't done the last few, and I was like, damn it. But I used to get it every time, and but up to where I got to, I haven't really, there hasn't been a bit where I've gone, oh, this, I think maybe the Skypiea arc I thought was a little bit off, but other than that, and I think that might be, is that a filler arc?
No, that was actually part of the main story, believe it or not.
I just thought that was, I think that was the one that I thought went on really, maybe dragged on
a bit. It was a bit long, but I the whole idea of having an ocean in the clouds was just, it just seemed like such a One Piece kind of story to do, so that managed to keep me on board for at least a majority of it. But I think it's the part where it drags out is really more in like the latter portions of that particular arc, because then just like, oh well, here's the main plot of this arc, but we're just taking a long time to get there.
I mean, I know they do kind of extend Alabaster and stuff. It's like, there's this one episode where there's like a bit that's supposed to take about 12 minutes on screen, and it takes 5 episodes, which is obviously quite typical of shonen
stuff.
Yeah,
so it's at least it's following the trend that it was already destined to walk down. It wasn't trying to be anything else, but I don't know. Like, out of all the arcs in the show that I've seen up to this point, I think that was probably one of my favorite ones, believe it or not.
Well, yeah. Alabaster. Yeah, it's one of the... Yeah, definitely. It's awesome. I just... Yeah, and all the characters and everything.
Yeah, who would you have to say out of the crew, if you can even pick, is your favorite? or if you have multiple favorites.
It's hard. maybe Zorro.
Yes.
I mean, he's a triple hard bastard. He's got three swords. There you go.
Yeah, he's gonna have some freaking jaw strength to be able to hold a whole katana in his mouth and still talk.
That just shows you, I think, you know, how silly and fun the show is, where they go, like, there's the best swordsman in the world. How do you know he's the best swordsman in the world? Well, he uses three swords at once.
And then you ask,
so ridiculous.
How can he do that, you ask? Why, he puts one in his mouth, of course. Oh, yes, he is a triple grade badass from start to, from the beginning to show to the current arc that it's going through.
But yeah, they're all awesome. Nami's awesome, and Sanji and
Usopp, Chopper. I think if not for Zoro Robin, I think Chopper is actually my favorite because he is this adorable little reindeer who ate a devil fruit, so he actually can speak English. You know, speak with people and transform into a more humanoid like look. But he is just I love him. He's the group's doctor. This is a reindeer doctor.
And talking about tragic backstory.
Oh God.
Chopper's backstory. Oh my God.
Yeah, that was the other one that basically when I first watched that I just like, oh dear Christ. This is so sad. Just want to grab that little guy and just give him a big hug.
Yeah, Chopper. Gonna love Chopper. And the character dynamics is one of the main joys of the show as well. Just the way, like when Luffy and Usopp and I think it's normally Luffy, Usopp and Sanji, basically, maybe Chopper, you know, fooling around.
Yeah, it's Usopp, Usopp, Chopper, and Luffy. They're the kids of this pirate family, as it were. It's like they're all friends, but they're really the dynamic between them. They're more like a family.
Yeah, that's true of the best anime series, I think. There's sort of a kind of similarity like between the character dynamics, I think, as with something like Cowboy Bebop.
Definitely.
Lupin the Third and stuff. I think they've always got this. I think that's kind of what makes the best shows, really. That when they've got just the character dynamic that, you know, you can put any plot around them, and as long as you've got that character dynamic, it's always going to be worth
watching. No matter what kind of adventures or shenanigans they get into and how much you're like, oh, this is a good plot, this isn't a good plot, you're always going to keep watching it because you want to see how the characters get through it.
Mm-hmm. And I love the... Also, they've got great villains.
Yeah! I think of the only one that I can think off the top of my head would be... the main bad guy for the Alabasta arc, Crocodile. He was a nasty customer.
Buggy.
Oh God, Buggy. He's interesting. He was both threatening and comic relief at the same time. I find it interesting how One Piece can pull that off with some of their bad guys.
The early on really, really one that makes you hate him is the Is it Chlorador or something?
Oh, was it the guy
butler in the Usopp? When Usopp's introduced, it's the evil butler.
Yes, I almost forgot about him.
That's like one of the most shocking twists. It's the butler.
The butler was
evil.
And yeah, he had a very intimidating design. I remember he had those gloves on his hands, which had those giant ass sword things put on them. Like, oh God, that's scary.
And just like every side character, like all the henchmen and stuff, just like I think every time there's like a character who's on screen for like 5 minutes or whatever in One Piece, they're always great.
Yeah, even if it's only for like you said, 5 minutes or 5 seconds of screen time, just like the a lot of the character designs really do pop off the screen. And there's just so much energy to the show, too. It's meant partly due to the fact that the, like we've said before, the main character is just kind of like all energy all the time. Whether it's positive, you know, I'm fooling around energy, or I'm going to kick your ass kind of negative energy.
Oh, and I mentioned it earlier. I was playing the demo of the latest One Piece game.
Yeah, you mentioned that earlier in the episode.
Called Burning Blood, and it is a fighting game. It's basically an arena fighting game, I think.
Is it like Dynasty Warriors kind of thing, where you're running from one area to another, beating up bad guys, or is it more of like a one-on-one kind of thing?
Yes, one-on-one. What you're describing, the Dynasty Warriors, they've done One Piece Pirate Warriors, which is exactly that.
Yeah, okay. That's what I'm thinking of.
I've got the first one of that. You get to play lots of different characters and play through some of the famous locations and stuff. There's like the one in the mountain. I can't remember what it's called. The big mountain with Chopper.
Oh, that's Drum Island.
Drum Island. That
Don't
one,
ask
yeah.
me how I remember that.
Yeah, you play through, there's like Drum Island, and there's all different locations from the series, including lots of the series that I haven't got anywhere near, because I'm so far behind. Like, there's stuff from the, after it does, because there's like a time jump.
Yeah, there is, oh gosh. I could go on all day about the circumstances behind that time skip, because it was an intense arc, to say the least.
Because I know they've all got a couple of years older and they've got scars.
Yeah, Zoro apparently lost an eye at some point during his training to, you know, improve his skills. And yeah, he lost an eye. It's like, oh no. What's the story behind that?
Because I've seen a couple of the movies that are set after the time skip. Because the movies have had a bit of a strange run of it, whether they've come out over here or not.
Yeah.
Because Funimation have only dubbed a couple of them so far, I think.
Yeah.
They did the Alabaster movie, which isn't. Yes, that wasn't.
It was okay. If you wanted like the entire, at least the majority of the Alabaster arc in like a one shot, that's probably you'll find it okay. But it's really just the show given a bit more of a movie budget, I guess.
But they also released, I think, Strong World and Film Z, which is, I think, fair to say Film Z, not Film Z, because the character in it is called Zed. So, I know the Japanese sometimes say they're Zed-o. So, yeah. So I've seen, and those ones were good. But I've also seen some of the older movies, because Manga UK released them as, collections, three movies at a time. They were subtitled only because Funimation never dubbed them. They were a bit mixed, because I know they released the Mamoru Hosoda one.
Did they? Because I actually haven't had a chance to look for it, because I've been meaning to try and track that down and add that to my collection.
It's released in the manga set in the UK. It's not available, I don't think, in the US.
Hopes dashed again.
I've watched one of the sets, and yeah, those movies weren't all that great. But the more recent movies are better. It's because they've done the same thing that's happened as happened with Dragon Ball and Naruto, and that is, they've got the creators involved.
Oh.
So they've stopped doing, they used to do a One Piece movie every year. And they used to just, spit one out. And sometimes it was like a remake of some of the episodes, or sometimes it was just, a bit of filler. But now, they don't do one every year. They do one every few years, and they try harder.
Yeah.
And they actually have Oda involved. So the new movies are much better.
Very cool.
Film Z was good.
I'll have to look into that. If it's available in the US, I don't know.
Yeah, it is because it was
okay.
And there was had the sea train in it and stuff. And
I remember that.
Yeah, and there was the only thing was Nami got turned into a little girl.
Wait, what?
Yeah, just like don't squander Nami like
poor
that.
Nami, she's been no. That girl has been through enough. Leave her alone.
Yes. She's been through the time skip and she's grown.
Yeah, she has. They seem to have made Usopp more of a badass than he was, because he was the more cowardly of the characters when they first started up, more of the inexperienced ones. And then after the time skip, you really see how much of his character development through, like, his, you know, the earlier seasons plus what he had to do in the time skip. And so I was like, oh man, he's grown up. He's grown up so much.
Yay. The characters are great.
They grow. It's like, with each new adventure, they all kind of change in different ways, I think. Which is one of the reasons why it's like, even when you, like you say, you watch the show for a little bit, you stop, you come back, you know, you're not going to lose anything or like too much. The core of the characters is still the same. But in like subtle ways, each new adventure like changes them, or helps them learn something new about how to, you know, live in this world.
Yeah, they do have genuine development, I think. So, and I also like the old shonen trope of people starting off as enemies and becoming friends.
Oh yeah, defeat means friendship.
That's always good. Yeah, that's always good. And also I. I love the there's a big trope in One Piece of very manly men who are actually quite
tough. Yeah.
And you get these huge men like crying basically and going,
wait, is that that makes me the only character that thinks of like in the main crew, is that the one of the newer ones, is that Frankie, the big cyborg guy?
Does do it, but I'm thinking of like the relationship between like Sanji and that chef.
Oh yeah.
They have this particular bond where, you know, they never actually say anything to each other, but you know, because they're too manly.
What secret? But, you know, they're like, they oh, we care really. So much about each other. Adopt yeah, surrogate dad, kind of.
That always works for me. That sort of thing.
Yeah.
Like. Yeah.
That unspoken connection.
And they've also got some awesome female characters with Nami and Robin.
Yeah,
and,
very well-rounded cast. It's never like an all-guy show or an all-girl show. It's got a very good balance to it.
Mm-hmm. And they have also some that are in not all the time characters, like Vivi and stuff also, I think, work
yeah,
well.
She hasn't shown up barely at all since after the whole Alabasta arc finished and when she chose to stay behind, but she's still like that unofficial crew member, which is cool. Mm-hmm. What was the most because I know it's still ongoing, is like, what part did you remember leaving off at?
There was like a secret hidden fortress or something, and they infiltrated it. That might not, I'm gonna have to look up. See, I'm not sure. That's the trouble. You get lost and then you think, oh wait, and now there's, yeah. By the way, if you haven't watched One Piece, then there's quite a lot to catch
up
with.
Yeah, it's
so you might find it a little bit daunting. You're like, oh, I haven't watched episode one. How many to go? Oh, it's on about 900.
Yeah, it's a lot. both it and, you know, that seems to be the ongoing thing with really popular shonen series. They just go on forever. But my best recommendation is for people who are kind of curious and not sure about it. Like, I'd say watch like the first, I'd say maybe 5, maybe 10 if you're feeling, you know, adventurous, 10 episodes, see if you like it. And at that point, you know, unless you want to try and watching it more, you know, like one episode at a time, I would say just kind of look through an episode description and just kind of pick an episode that sounds the most interesting to you. And then if you get tied into that particular arc, then you just watch the rest of the arc.
Yeah, or look up what the arcs are. And
yeah, see which one sounds the most interesting to you.
Because I've heard people point out, because people go, oh, there's so much of One Piece or Naruto or Dragon Ball, whatever. Where do you start? Or it's too much to take on or whatever. Mm-hmm. But they pointed out that these things are basically designed to be able to jump in and jump out. Because, you know, that's why there's so much recap and everything. You always get the big... It's because, you know, at that sort of length of series, it's very hard. You know, you have to be really dedicated to be able to keep mm-hmm. up with it. So they're designed where people can just go, oh, I'll just jump in for a bit and oh, I'm going to stop for a bit now. And you can just jump in and you can catch up pretty quickly with the recap and you get an idea what's going on. And you go, oh, I know these characters, I know what's mm-hmm. going on. There's maybe a bit of development, but it's the same show.
The plot is for One Piece is very loose, too. I mean, the whole goal of the series is basically for our intrepid group of pirates to find this lost treasure and really just go from place to place to place to place in the process of looking for said treasure. And they're still looking. So the fact that they go to one place, do some stuff there, and then go back on their way, really, the grand scheme of the plot hasn't changed much. They're just one step closer to where they need to be. So it's just, that's why, like, in terms of coming in at, like, any particular point in the series, like, you know, it's, the plot hasn't changed all that much. It's just, you know, it won't have changed much by the time you come back in. I mean, maybe they've gotten a new member to the crew, or say they've gotten a new important piece of information that will help them in their search, or a new destination that will point them in the right direction. But other than that, it's just like, it doesn't change that drastically. There's not any big, enormous plot twists that happen all that often.
Oh, I remember now that it's a bit after Franky comes on.
Oh, right, when they get their new ship.
So there we go. Yeah, so somewhere along there.
Then you're about... Oh, gosh. Then I can't...
I'm about 10 years behind.
That's fine. That's not an issue at all. It's like you're about to meet one of the other characters that I've very, very fond of. One of the newer additions to the crew after Franky is that they get to have on the crew, and he's wonderful.
I have seen, because, like I said, I've seen some of the movies later on down the line, so I've seen characters. So, like, I don't know who this character is yet.
Does he have a big afro, and is he a skeleton?
Yes, yes. Brooke, isn't it?
Love,
is it
Brooke?
Yeah. So I've met him. I've met him both in the movies, and also I think he's in the game as well, because Pirate Warriors happens later in the series as well, so... I think it happens after the time skip, but then it goes back and forth. And
yeah, if I had to pick my three favorite characters, like guy, you know, male characters, it would be Zoro, Chopper, and Brooke. Walking, talking skeleton. Now that is awesome.
It's just, start off with just basically humans, and then
we get a reindeer doctor.
There's a reindeer, there's a cyborg.
And there's a talking skeleton.
There's a woman who makes arms appear on things.
Now that is a really awesome superpower. You see a wide variety of different abilities in this show. Like, you know, Luffy himself is literally made of rubber because of the fruit that he ate. People can turn into, you know, smoke, fire, sand. They can be cut in half and, like, diagonally and still pull themselves back together. It just, the list is endless, but it's, like, of all the different things, like, it continually gets more awesome and more wacky as you see new abilities come out in this show, and just what's offers a really amazing cast of characters. That's just that's part of the draw of the show, is just to see who shows up next.
And, oh, yeah, when I was saying about characters who start off as villain and then become a friend or whatever, Robin's one of the best examples.
Well,
of that.
It's funny because she was against them, sure, but she wasn't really an enemy, I wouldn't say. She didn't personally have a grudge to pick with them. She was just doing her job, quote-unquote job, at the time.
Yeah, but she was introduced as one character and then becomes another. So that was another interesting... Oh, and she's an archaeologist, because pirate ships need an archaeologist, obviously.
Well, at least with the more backstory we got with her character, there is a lot of politics in the One Piece world that is apparently trying to cover up something in terms of historical events that the current government may be lying about. So I will admit, and when I was watching One Piece and that whole thing, that revelation happened, I can't say I was expecting something of that nature to pop up in One Piece. Like, oh, apparently we're getting some essence of political intrigue, maybe, sort of, kind of, in this wacky pirate adventure show, and I'm not entirely sure it's fitting for the genre, but I like Robin, and I like, the fact, that she's got a stake in the crew now, so, hey.
It's such a bizarre world it's set in as well. It's just, like, it's whole world based around pirates. So,
well, basically, the pirates run rampant, and the government system that's in place is doing their best to curb that. But since this one really infamous pirate, basically, they caught him and put him to death, and basically said, "Oh, okay, I have this hoard of wealth that's basically greater than anything this world's ever known. Go and find it." And basically, once that happened, basically, people who were just kind of like, stay-at-home people are like, "I'm going to go be a pirate and find this treasure and be, my life is going to be set," kind of thing. And then that's just basically after that one moment, being a pirate became a cool thing in this world. And basically the government system was just like, "Oh no, what happened? What's happened?"
That's because being a pirate is cool.
Yeah, exactly.
Unless you're downloading illegal films,
that's not
cool. And we don't condone that. But being a pirate, that kind of pirate, that's good.
That's fun. That's this show proves it's good old fashioned fun.
Not that they do a whole lot of actual pirating.
Well, the Straw Hat Pirates, as they're called, are a bit of an oddity in their world. They're much less pillage, pillaging villages. They're just kind of like they stop at a place, they see the scenery, maybe right some wrongs. They're more like, I wouldn't say Robin Hood really, but just kind of like if they see, because they aren't saints per se. They won't stick out their neck if it's, too much of a problem, but still, if people that they care about or if they've met that they befriend are in peril, they aren't gonna, they don't hesitate to stick their foot out and be like, "Hey, that ain't cool."
Well, they do get treasure, I suppose, so that's
no, yeah, there's treasure to be found. They'll get that. I think there's been a couple instances where they've found treasure and like, "Okay, we're just gonna take this. Consider this our payment." And the people who are on the island are like, "It's okay. You kind of saved our country." As you do. Because they're just that awesome.
There is a new movie coming out in Japan this year.
Is there? What's the title?
Film Gold.
What's it called?
Film Gold.
Huh.
It's coming out in July.
Strange title.
Yes. It is... original creator Eiichiro Oda is serving as the film's executive producer. Which he also did on Film Dead. Yes. It is a... And apparently it is going to show in 3D... And 4D. 4D is where they shake the seats and throw water.
Oh my god,
stuff.
What?
It's a whole extra D.
Wow. I had forgotten that was a thing.
Well, there you go.
I guess so. And apparently One Piece is going to be doing it, so have fun with that.
I'm going to guess that's probably not going to make
it.
Yeah,
I think that's
going to
be a Japan-only thing.
Although, I wonder if the 3D version will come out, because they did. They showed Resurrection F in 3D in the UK.
Oh, did they? Yeah, right, I remember now.
Mm-hmm. I don't think they showed it in the US,
no.
though, did they?
They did not.
So it'll be interesting to see what their new movie is like when that comes out.
Yeah, we'll have to see if we can find a trailer or two.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, and there's the new game coming out, which... Oh, I didn't really mention it. I might as well just... As we're coming towards the close, Well, basically, it's an arena fighter type game, by the looks of it. And that you can... They've released a demo on PlayStation Network. To be honest, I got a bit...
Aww.
Got a bit bored quickly. But it looks really good. It looks like One Piece in 3D comes to life, and it looks great. But my main issue was, like, the characters in the demo weren't particularly interesting. Luffy was there, which is fine. But then it was like, Ace...
Oh, his brother.
Yeah, who's a bit similar to Luffy, really. And Frankie, and just, I think it's some marine character or something. And it's like... It's like, I want to play with Zoro and Nami and Sanji and Chopper. I don't want to, yeah. I mean, Luffy, yeah, fair enough. But I'd rather have the other characters I know than
if
these
I'm
people,
wagering
really.
A guess, I think the reason why it's just those characters is because that's taking place during the arc where the entire crew was separated.
I think it's just because it's the demo.
Maybe, but That's just my hunch, but I don't know. We'll have to see when the game actually comes out.
I'm sure the other characters will be in it, I'm sure. It was just a bit of a button basher or whatever. I normally like fighting games, but it like I say, it's more of an arena fighting game rather than a normal straight up. And I did enjoy the Pirate Warriors game though, because you just run around being Luffy and stuff, and all the other characters, and you can then, like, once you play through it as one character, and then you can go back and play through it as another character. Mm-hmm. So you, like, play as the character who the story actually centers on, whatever. So, you know, if it's Nami's arc, then you play through as Nami originally, but then you can go back and go, I'm gonna play as Zoro. I've got three swords.
Yeah, I'm holding out hope for one day that they make like a more of like an action based RPG of One Piece. I mean, I think they might have done something similar like that, but a more expansive one. One day.
Oh, there was a one on Wii U, I think, called NDS, called like something World or something. That
was like
RPG.
Pirate World or something. I don't know. I feel like I've heard that title, but I'm only barely remembering it.
Red World or something? I don't know. Or something World Red.
Oh,
I think
I know. I think I'm remembering it now. Yeah, there's that game. That was good, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a while.
Yeah, and there's also... they've also mentioned there's a new 3DS One Piece game coming as well. That's on ANN at the moment. I'm also looking forward to the... at some point I want to play the... is it Jump Stars or something? Which is the crossover game.
Right. All the different shonen protagonists fighting game.
Yeah.
That's going to be crazy. Because a lot of people are speculating, you know, what would happen if Goku and Luffy met up and just have this like giant eating contest?
Well, now you can. Well, they fight. Well, they actually fight, actually, rather than
eating. Well, if they weren't going to be fighting, that's the only other thing they would be doing, would be eating. Because it's Luffy and Goku.
Oh. The new DS one is a 2D fighting game. That's interesting. I actually remember there being an old PlayStation 2 One Piece fighting game that I think came out before I'd even watched the show or something. It was definitely before One Piece was a big thing over here. But I remember there being a game. I was like, oh, this looks cool. But I never played it. But I think, yeah, we've been talking about One Piece for a long time and we could keep going.
Because the show's still going and there's a lot to talk about, but we, you know, we could go on forever, but we won't.
I'd like the show, which has got no sign of stopping anytime soon.
It is a shonen, it is one of the better shonen series out there, so if you've any passing interest, I would highly recommend that you maybe take a, like, watch the first couple episodes and see if it's your thing, and if it is, then just zip around different episodes and see what, you know, and enjoy it.
And the good news is if you like it, there's an awful lot of it.
Everywhere you turn, One Piece, One Piece, One Piece.
So check it out. Okie dokie. Should we call it a night?
I think we
shall. Okay, so that's it for episode 40 of the AFA podcast. You can follow everything we do on animationforadults.com. You can follow us on Tumblr, Twitter, at AFA Blog. You can find us, we are now also on Instagram. We are on Pinterest. We are on Facebook. We have a Facebook group as well, the Animation for Adults official group, that you can join up and discuss things with your fellow animation fans. Just click on join and we'll preview quickly. You can find our previous podcasts on podcast.com, on iTunes, on Stitcher, and we are working on trying to get on Google Play as well, but it's
been proving a bit difficult, but we'll do the best we can to make sure we can get the podcast on there, so stay tuned for that.
And if you'd like to help us make more great site content and also get things like early episodes of the podcast and extended episodes of the podcast and other things coming soon, including bonus episodes, like there might be an interesting one coming along
indeed.
Soon. Possibly. I don't know.
Mysterious.
But yeah, that's it for us. So follow us at AFA Blog. You can follow me at Mr. Christor on Twitter. And you can also find me at Mr. Christor on Facebook.
You can find me on Twitter at Filthy Ninja.
Awesome. So we will catch you soon for episode 41.
All right, everybody, take care.
Goodbye.
Yo! Don't give it up, Luffy. Don't give it up, Zoro. Don't give it up now, man. Don't give it up.
Here's how the story goes. We find out about a treasure in the Grand Line. There's no doubt. The pirate whose eye is on it, he'll sing. I'll be king of the pirates. I'm gonna be king.
His name is Luffy.
That's Monkey D. Luffy.
Gonna be king of the pirates.
He's made of rubble.
How did that happen? Yo-ho-ho, he took a bite of gum-gum.
He's just like a samurai and a L-A-D-Y. Nami's not shy. Usopp's doing that marksman thing. Sanji's cooking. Chopper's doctoring.
Dio, 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 oh-oh. Set sail for One Piece. It's the name of the treasure.